Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Spirit and Scripture that inspires us to continue in prayer unto you and to watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay, well, it says here, Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Paul, an apostle of God, Lord Jesus, under inspiration by the Holy Ghost, began this epistle to the church in Colossae with his usual style of salutation. Then he advised them that since the day he and Pastor Timothy had been visited by Epaphras and learned of their steadfast faith in God the Father and Lord Jesus, prayers were offered every day on their behalf. And now the Colossian epistle is coming to a close. Paul is asking the Colossians to pray for them in Rome, then gives them final instructions how Christians are to live, how to represent God, Lord Jesus, his gospel and kingdom. The epistle to Colossae is like the other Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. It is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, disciplines in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all virtuous works. And the epistles to the first century Christians in Colossae and elsewhere are applicable to all Christians thereafter, everywhere, including the 21st century. Chapter 4, verse 2, and this is part 1, prayer. Chapter 4, verse 2 begins with a present imperative active, a command to continue, to be steadfast, to be faithful in prayer, and watch. Be attentive to God's revelation. Expect to receive that which is requested according to God's purpose, and be sure to give thanksgiving, giving thanks for receiving the request before it even is received, except for verses 2, 3, and 4, and using verses 5 and 6, and verse 12, part A, verse 17, parts B and C, which is similar to verse 4. As hint, there is no direct statement pertaining to the content or type of prayer, although reading of chapter 1, 2, and 3 indicates that the content and type of prayer is an intercessory prayer and one of thanksgiving. In keeping with God, Lord Jesus' directive, recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, prayers must begin with giving God the Father glory, honor, thanks, for he is the only God, the only Lord. He is Savior, and requesting that his kingdom come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the case of the Christians that were in Colossae, but also with all Christians everywhere in every century, Christians must be thankful for one another and have love for one another and give thanks to God the Father for fellow Christians, and that each one of us will show forth the evidences of salvation, regeneration, conversion, justification, repentance, sanctifications. Christians should pray for themselves and fellow Christians, that God, Lord Jesus, by his indwelling presence, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, will fill, supply, will saturate them even with knowledge of God, Lord Jesus, and of his will, what he, God, purposes to bless mankind with through Christ, and that which Christ, Lord Jesus, desires be done by us, that we do it with wisdom and spiritual understanding that is from God. Christians will pray the Lord that we, his disciples, in soul, spirit, mind, will be very powerfully influenced by his, the Lord's, wisdom and insight, and be involved in the Lord's life, and the Lord's life be involved in us, that each one of his disciples will live worthy of the Lord's divine presence by way of his Spirit and Scripture, that we will be pleasing to him in all things, being fruitful in every good work, showing forth evidences of course, regeneration, conversion, repentance, justification, sanctification, evidences of the Lord's indwelling presence, and in that we will increase in the knowledge of God. Our increase of the knowledge of God very powerfully influencing our manner of thinking, speaking, living, being thankful for the blessings that he, the Lord, has bestowed and will continue to bestow on us through Christ. Christians will pray that fellow Christians, increased in knowledge of God, will increase in morals, will be strengthened with might, power, the power that is according to God, Lord Jesus, glorious power, divine perfections unto all patience, endurance, perseverance, and long-suffering, forbearance, self-restraint, with joyfulness. It is normal that biblical Christians, they experiencing deliverance in Christ from the power, guilt, consequence of sin, will live the lifestyle of gratitude to God, giving thanks unto God the Father, for he makes us and sustains us fit, worthy to be partakers, participants, to have fellowship in the inheritance of the saints, in light, the light of the kingdom of light. Think of Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, and the scene on the Mount of Transfiguration, wherein Peter, James, and John saw the Lord Jesus, Moses, and Elijah transfigured. God the Father has delivered us, rescued us, sanctified us, and has sanctified us to purify us by the influence of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to purify us from the power, the authority of Satan, and the spiritual darkness of ignorance and error of sin, and has translated us, moved us into the divine kingdom, present and eternal, of his dear begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, the Son of his life, or a love. For in the Son Jesus, we, the Christian community, have redemption. Our ransom is paid. We are delivered from the power and consequence of sin. Jesus the Christ, the Son, gave his blood, his life. He is God the Father's sacrificial lamb. He became our sin offering for the forgiveness of our sins. Our God, Lord Jesus, the icon of the invisible God, became God the Father's sacrificial lamb. He released our sins from us. He removed the power, guilt, and punishment of sin. Christians should be, even must be, thankful for one another. Thankful for the church building wherein we congregate to worship and give thanks unto God. And let us remember with grateful souls, spirits, and minds and affections, God, Lord Jesus, is God self-manifest in human flesh. Again, he, Christ, is the exact image of the living God. He has made peace with God the Father through the blood of his crucifixion, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight unto himself. That is, if we continue in the faith. and be not moved away from the hope, the expectation of seeing Christ. Christians will be thankful unto God the Father for their pastors and will pray for the pastor of their local congregation, asking God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, to keep the pastor and his family spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically healthy, safe from all harm. The local congregation will pray the Lord will continue to give their pastor the health, strength, energy that is necessary to be the pastor, and by the power of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and Scripture, the Lord God will give their pastor and themselves the knowledge, confidence, strength, endurance, and the intestinal fortitude to wage the good fight of faith, to boldly proclaim a God, Lord Jesus, gospel, theology, philosophy, disciplines in holiness, in an uncompromising manner. The preacher and the congregation, along with the Holy Spirit and Scripture, will be inspiration and initiator to one another, each member of the congregation being obedient to live the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through chapter 7, verse 27. God, Lord Jesus' philosophy for living the Christian life in this present life in preparation for the eternal life. And there is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 8. Or rather, verses 10 through 18, as soon as I find it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Part number two, mystery of Christ. Verse number three, part C, states that biblical Christians will pray to the Lord for their pastors that they will continue to proclaim the mystery of Christ boldly, without compromise. And each biblical Christian in pulpit and in the pew will pray to the Lord to give they determination to live the mystery of Christ boldly, without compromise. Verse 3, part C, does not state what the mystery of Christ is, except that it concerns Christ. And even then, it is not Christ directly or Christ only. For Christ the Lord, Jesus, God self-manifest in human flesh, has revealed and continues to reveal in his Scripture all that is necessary for men, women, children to know about him and about themselves. But most men and women, children, knowledge about Christ Jesus and themselves remains a mystery, remains hid, because they reject that which they see, read, even learn in Scripture. Again, most men and women, children, knowledge about Christ Jesus and themselves remains a mystery, remains hid, because they reject that which they see, read, even learn in Scripture. Tragically, many rejecting Scripture at one time lived to Scripture, but somewhere a sin of carnality, a sin of disobedience toward God, Lord Jesus, was implanted in their soul, spirit, mind, and they became wicked and failed of salvation. Many are those heretics, hypocrites, apostates, rejectors of Scripture in Christ, because they have not taken heed to chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They have not taken heed, or rather taken heed to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to they that are lost. While there is life, while there is sanity of mind, there is the possibility for Christ's rejecters to repent. But if there is no genuine regeneration, no genuine conversion, no genuine repentance, no sanctification, Christ's rejecters remain in sin. They remain lost and have incurred loss of true life, eternal life, and are consigned to eternal misery. What then is the mystery of Christ? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. The answer is found in chapter 1, verse 27. Christ, where we read Christ in you. It is unreasonable, it is inexcusable that men, women, do not realize Christ in them. John chapter 14 and verses 15 through 23. God, Lord Jesus, reveals why and how he abides in his disciples, the members of his church. Realize this is not a step-by-step process in the strictest sense. These actions overlay one another or overlap one another. And we read in John chapter 14, verses 15 to 23, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. There's also John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me. He is greater than all, No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Our God, our Lord, also teaches us in John chapter 3, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The union of Christ in you, Christ in us, Christ in the members and attendees of Open Door Bible Church, Middletown, Pennsylvania, is stated in many verses in various manner. Chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ in you refers to both Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles. Chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. We have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Throughout the epistles, there is reference is made to biblical Christians being in Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, they who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verses 9 through 11. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. John testified in his first epistle in chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. They that have the Spirit of God within them will live in the Spirit, as we read in Galatians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which has sealed you unto the day of redemption. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Be very much aware, and allow no one to deceive you. Union with Christ, Christ in the biblical Christian, the biblical Christian in Christ, does not allow, will not allow, and will not include unregenerate persons. All forms of idolatry and all other forms of sin must be forsaken. Number three, purpose for union in Christ. The purpose for union in Christ, the purpose for manifesting and making manifest Christ in you or and in us, is that we, biblical Christians in pulpit and pew, will walk. We will live our lives conformed to the union entered into with God, Lord Jesus, and will walk in the wisdom of God toward them that are not disciples of God, Lord Jesus, not members of the Lord Jesus' faith and church. These unregenerate, unconverted, unrepentant people, we will walk toward them in such manner that we will redeem the time. We will make wise, sacred use of every opportunity to, by word and or deed, give testimony of God, Lord Jesus. Our speech, our speaking, always, at all times, will be with grace. It will be seasoned with salt, full of wisdom and grace, that is pleasant and wholesome. Yet it will be with salt, words that declare, make known, proclaim God, Lord Jesus the Christ, putting in mind and setting the mind right by communicating the knowledge of God, Lord Jesus the Christ, to everyone. It will be done with godly wisdom, that everyone may present themselves standing before God, Lord Jesus the Christ, perfect, obedient to Christ, intelligent, able to apprehend divine things, having maturity of virtue and integrity. Number four, demonstration of Christ in you. Instruction in demonstrating Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in we, the members and attendees of Open Door Bible Church, Middletown, Pennsylvania, able to apprehend divine things, having maturity of virtue and integrity, is necessary and is found in chapter 3 of Colossians, wherein we read, if ye then be risen with Christ, that is, united, having union with Christ in his resurrection and ascension, ye have the new blessed life that is devoted to God, Lord Jesus. We have citizenship with him in his kingdom, where he sits at the right hand of God, meaning he has equal authority. Therefore, we are to endeavor to have the things that are above, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our affections are to be on things in the kingdom of heaven. We must remember that we are of the eternal generation, the generation of they that seek the Lord, that we may see his face. We must desire to see the Lord's kingdom on earth, that the Lord's will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. For we are dead to sin. We have renounced and abandoned sin. Our lives are hid, laid up with God in heaven. when Christ our life, the author and the giver of our eternal lives, appears. Right now, Christ is hid from sight in heaven. But hereafter, when he returns visibly, then shall we, the biblical Christians, the members of his church, appear with him in the glory, in the celestial light. Again, think of the scene on the Mount of Transfiguration. Therefore, mortify, deprive your members of the, that is, of the human body, as would partake of sinful desires and passions. Think of Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, where we are told to dispose of our eyes, or this, of course, is somewhat like what they call a metaphor. We aren't really supposed to tear our arms off, but we are not to be doing evil things with our eyes, evil things with our speech and with our hands. We are to put off fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, or depravity, evil concupiscence, carnality, covetousness, particularly that which can turn into idolatry. For the wrath of God comes, and even has come, upon persons partaking in these acts of disobedience, acts of unbelief, even willful unbelief. But we are also to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, vile conversations, and lyings. Remember, the genuineness of one's Christianity is discerned by their vocabulary. We are to put off, we are to separate, even be separated from the old nature of unregenerate self, and put on the new nature of regeneration, conversion, justification, repentance, sanctification. We are to be renewed by knowledge of things divine and ethical that are according to the image of God, Lord Jesus, he that is transforming us to his likeness of holiness. In God, Lord Jesus, there is neither ethnic Gentiles nor ethnic Jews. There is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There is no barbarians, those that are unrefined. There are neither Scythians, referring to the nomadic Cossack tribes of the North and Caspian Seas. We know these people better as Russians. And there are no servants. There are no freeborn, for Christ is all and in all. By way of his Spirit and Scripture in the souls, spirit, minds of us, his disciples, molding us to his likeness of holiness of character. We are to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, Lord Jesus, the elect being those effectively called unto salvation, they holy and beloved, they for whom Christ was crucified. We are to put on tender mercies of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, better known as humility. There is mildness. There we are to be self-restrained. We are to have patience, and to have forgiveness, being gracious to one another, especially fellow Christians. If anyone has a quarrel or an occasion of complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these, put on, have on, love for Christ Jesus the Lord. That is the bond that results in perfectness. We are to let the peace of God rule in your mind, rule in our minds, to have tranquility of the soul, to have assurance of salvation through Christ, that we fear not the wrath of God. Consequently, we are to be content and thankful for being called into one body, the body of Christ's church. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, and in our assembly abundantly, imparting Christian truth, imparting instruction, instilling doctrine, warning one another with impious songs and sacred songs and songs in praise of God and or Christ, singing praises with devout and grateful soul to the Lord. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, let it be done in the act of holding forth. We are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verses 18 through 25. Pastor Bereza was most excellent in his discourse of Christ in the biblical Christian home. There is no need for further comment. Time for observations. A, prayer is vital for communicating with God, Lord Jesus, our needs and the needs of others. Praying, requesting the Holy Spirit in Scripture will run free course, and by regeneration, conversion, justification, repentance, sanctification unto God, Lord Jesus, civility and sanity will be restored in public places. B, the biblical Christian is the genuine Christian, the true Christian, realizing, living this present life as though in the very visible presence of our God, Lord Jesus. Observation C, for many years, theologians, commentators, professors in Christian colleges and universities have debated and written articles on election and who are the elect of God. For they, considering this great and important theological subject, the answer is in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. That is all. Amen.